the world, and then the end will come. You know exactly what's going to happen. You know the beginning from the end, and your purposes are divine and they're clear. And we're your children, Lord. For yours is the kingdom. For yours is the power. For yours is the glory forever and ever. Forever and ever. Your eyes are focused on us, Lord. And our hearts are determined to beat with the rhythm of your heart. With the same beat. With the same beat. With the same beat. For the sake of love, so that your will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our eyes are on you today. Our anthem to you is clear. For yours is the kingdom. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Increase us today, O Holy One. Increase us today.
Lord, open my eyes to see this incredibly large giant eagle right in this building. I'm just getting the sense from him this morning that holy, that he's calling us into that place of just riding and soaring with him. I believe his presence is here to open up our eyes, open up our ears even more. Holy One. And I heard him speak. Just get an impression of... We already believe that there's an open heaven over this place, but I believe that what happened in the 24/7 worship week, that a new doorway was opened in the Spirit. And that eagle of his presence is here to fly with him into that new place in the Spirit. Holy, holy possession of new lands, new places, new territory in the Spirit. Holy One. So Lord, we will arise with you. Holy. We will ascend with you. Holy One, we will fly with you and no other. Because yours is the kingdom. Holy One, yours is the dominion and the power. And Lord, I thank you that here in this place, Lord, that you found a body, Lord, to be able to release who you are in the earth. What an incredible honor and privilege, Lord. You're here today, you're not here by accident. You were destined for this moment to release the very knowledge of who He is wherever you go. Holy. And your song of worship and your song of praise will release a sound in the earth that will transform nations. Holy. And even change things in the natural. Holy One.
choose to honor your glory. We choose to honor your ways. We choose to blow as you blow. We choose to hear you, and we choose to respond. That's your love. You give us the choice. All the while, you are drawing us to yourself. Who can forgive? So by the Spirit, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, we say yes with everything inside. emotions. We desire that we be blameless before you, body, soul, and spirit. This is not cheap grace, Lord God. This is the way of the kingdom, Lord. We bend our knee in honor and submission to you because you're worthy. Not because it's a good idea, but because you're worthy, Lord. All honor, all glory, all dominion, now and forever. Now and forever. Now and forever. Direction, we say, okay, I'm moving. This is the way. Okay, this is what I say. All right. This is the way it needs to be. Okay. That's our heart. That's our childlike heart today. That's trusting the one who is trustworthy. Receiving on the floor, just stay there. Here's the end. Stay where you are, just receive. God's doing mighty things in many people. Angie, can you put up Psalm 27 before? Thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. Some versions say inquire in his temple. The Lord is calling us, church, as his beloved bride, ever increasing in beauty. His beloved bride, to desire to behold his beauty and to inquire and meditate, inquire of him and meditate in his temple. This is the cry of our hearts as one thing that we desire from the Lord. This is the cry, one thing I desire. One thing, and everything else spills from that. One thing. If we want deliverance, we want money situations taken care of, we want family problems to change, all that. If we're trying to work that out, God says, can you pay attention to what I'm saying here? And your role is to say, okay, I guess that makes sense. You wrote the book. One thing I have asked from the Lord, which is his will. This is his will for us. That I shall seek. I shall spend the rest of my days seeking this one thing whose name is Jesus. I shall seek you, that I would dwell in the house, in your house, all the days of my life. I would dwell in your kingdom. You would dwell in me, and we would be together. Our hearts would be together. And the rhythm of my heart would be with your heart. That's what I seek. Above everything. These are not just words of rhetoric. These are words of life. These are truthful words that will change everything for us. Everything. Everything. If anybody here is feeling a song stirring up from Psalm 27:4, any part of that. so that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected, matured, in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me. So the world may know that you sent me. So the world may know that you sent me. These are Jesus' words. And that you love them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, says Jesus, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. And then finally, at the end of chapter 17, Jesus speaks, O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. This is the heart of the Father for us. This is the heart of Jesus being expressed to the Father on our behalf. This is a big deal. This is the heart of David, was the heart of David, King David. And Jesus Christ has been spoken of as the Son of David, coming from the Davidic line. And when Jesus comes back, when Jesus returns again, and he takes his rightful place in Jerusalem, he will rule and reign. And there, to the increase of his government, his kingdom way, there will be no end. That's already been stated. But the Lord says that the fulfillment of that will take place. Why do we talk about these things? We need to know the eternal thinking and plan for our Father and for us, of our Father for us. He needs us to know that he has this figured out. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly where we are, and he knows exactly what's going to happen. He's calling us as his worshiping bride to take our rightful place, to not think less of ourselves than he says we are, not to think more of ourselves than he says we are, but to understand what he is saying and what he is doing at this moment. Wherever he shows up, whatever he's doing, that's where we want to be. That's what we want to do. When we surrender ourselves, when we humble ourselves and say, wow, you really are that big, he takes notice because he's so in love with us. He loves hearts that are absolutely postured before him to say, now what? What does this all mean? There's no confusion in him. No confusion in the kingdom. No confusion at all. When we scratch our heads trying to figure everything out, we go to Papa and say, so what do you say about this? Anything, any situation, anything. We never go to him and say, oh, that one's too big. It might feel as though to us, but he says, in me, there's no confusion. I'm very clear. What do you want? If you want me, you'll have me. And more and more. He's relentless. And he says, be relentless in your pursuit of me. Because you can't do that even without me drawing you. Don't stop short. Go for it. Angie, can you put up Amos again? There's a scripture I want us to look at again. You can write it down. Think about it. We're going to go through a few of them. We've encountered the Lord. He's still here with us. Children are safe in their kingdom place. Just stay on the floor if you want. I don't care. That's where you'll be in heaven anyway. In that day, I will raise up fallen booths of David, and other translations say tabernacle. Because when David worshiped the Lord, David stepped out with a worshiping heart under an old covenant, the old covenant, very different from us. But yet, his heart of worship rendered him becoming a man after God's own heart. Even with all the gunk and all the sin and the different things that he surrounded himself with at times, not a good idea. It's not a justification for sin. But he stepped into who he really was, at least on occasion. And he said, I'm going to worship you with all that I know, with all that I can. And setting up worship in his temple was really a beautiful thing, because he invoked all kinds of people to step into their destiny to worship. That's a picture for us using our gifts, our abilities, but also our hearts being vessels of worship for the Lord. So these folks on the floor, as they're receiving, they're worshiping the Lord because they're cooperating with what he's doing. When we're listening, when we're responding, as we're responding, we're receiving, we're cooperating with what he's doing. We're worshiping the Lord. This is cooperation from heaven to earth. This pleases God. So back in the Old Testament, we have a picture of what it was like here, but also a promise in Amos 9. In that day, what day? Well, let's keep reading. There's a day that Amos was speaking about. This is 750 years before Jesus was born. We know it's before Jesus. In that day, I will raise up the fallen booth of David, meaning that the way that David operated in the heart of worship before our God will be raised up again. It has fallen. It has gone by the wayside. Sin has entered in. So the Lord is saying, I'm looking really for the spirit behind that, because we're not going backwards to the old covenant. But we're going to glean from the old covenant the spirit behind what happened there, and then allow the Lord's glory to act, to exaggerate that in a good way, to accelerate and exaggerate that, because he wants to. Why? He said so. Because he knows that is what's going to bring in the very end, and also enable Jesus to rule and reign as he intended to. So let's see what it says. I will also raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. And Edom is representative of mostly the Arab nations. This is representative of those who have strayed from the true God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and followed the way of Ishmael, referring to the original ones who just said, oops, wrong God, and went the other direction, which mostly exists in the Arab nations, primarily Islamic beliefs. So it's a major counterpart, opposite counterpart, if you will, of Christianity. But he wants to invade those places. This is a call to go to the nations. This is a call from Jesus. He's giving us a pattern for what he wants to see. And I believe that we're walking that out right here in Frontline. I'm very pleased with how you guys respond to just the heart of worship in this house. I love it. That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name. So that's everybody else, including the Jews. Declares the Lord who does this. You see, if we say all glory, all the power and dominion to the Lord now and forever, amen. When we say, Lord, for your glory, with your power, or by your power, he's going to do it. He's saying, do you believe me? Do you trust me? Do you care? Well, I want to care because he is talking about this. Do you trust me? Well, what does that look like? Laying down, dying to self, realizing that he has the first and the last and every other word in between. So God wants that to be stirred up on the inside of us so that we can carry more of what he's designed us to carry. He says, I have designed you to go and infiltrate the world and absolutely becoming like me, enable the world to see who I am, see the one that I sent. I just read it from John 17. That's the goal, so that we can all live in heaven together. Amen. So God wants to see this happen, but he has a way for this to be accomplished. So if we're looking for, you know, a little cheat sheet here, pay real close attention. Not that this is the only thing. That they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord. Let me just throw this out. When you see and I see the word declare, from now on, if something is written and says, declares the Lord, come on. Why don't we just purpose in our hearts to take that a little more seriously? Because if he declared it, he's serious about it. So a declaration from God needs our 100% full attention. His decrees, his declarations are his words, which are very powerful and strong, and nothing will change what God decides to do. So his declaration is, I do it. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman will overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed, when the mountains will drip sweet wine and all the hills will be dissolved. Next. And I will restore the captivity of my people Israel. So he's speaking about salvation up to this point, up to verse 13. And he's speaking about salvation increasing. The Lord of the harvest is reigning. He's saying the harvest fields are white. It's time to step in because I'm Lord of the harvest. And I am going to exaggerate what you think can be done. And yes, I will use you. I will anoint you for great and mighty things way beyond. If you are behind me in timing, I will keep moving. Sometimes we may be behind the Lord, and we think, well, you know, he's God and there's grace. But that's not what a laid-down worshiper, lover really wants to say. Because if he declares, we want to be right with him as he's moving, not 10 years behind him or 1 year behind him. And as Bill Johnson said on a video we were watching last night, if anything doesn't match up with his word in the kingdom, it's not on his end. It's always on our end. Always. So if there's any lack, or if there's any slowness or dullness or anything in the word that doesn't come to pass, it's not on his end ever, because he's God. It's like, wow. So if I have one thing in my mind, in my heart, and that I will seek, and I've asked you, Lord, for this one thing, that I would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and I would meditate and inquire of you in your holy place and temple, he will drive it by his Spirit, because he declares it, that I will do it for the nations. I will do that for you. I will do that. I will do that. So if we fight him, or we reason away what we are willing to do, we're the ones who lose, because he's still on the throne. He says, don't reason things. I just want to take my time. And the enemy wants us to take our time. And that gives him more time to hammer us. You see? The Lord's very forthright. When we read something or when we hear something, if we say, I'm choosing to grab this, Lord, he's looking for people who will hold on like a pit bull, and then he will make himself known to bring it to pass. He's very clear about that. He is saying, step in, step in. Well, I've already said yes, I know, but keep moving as you said yes. Don't just say yes. Anybody can say yes. 1, 2, 3, let's all say yes. 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 Okay. Let's keep moving with that yes. That's a big difference. Very, very big difference. That's what we're looking for. So the Lord says in verse 14, part of it, he says, they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will also plant vineyards and drink their wine. He is restoring the captivity of his people. He's talking about his Jewish kids who don't know it yet. And that began in a very large way in 1948. He did this. We can't do that. So in 1948, the Jews started to migrate, come back to Jerusalem, come back to Israel. And we're still in that fulfillment of that part of the prophecy that was written 750 years before Christ. This is a big deal. So the restoration of those in captivity of the Jews has already begun in a huge way. And he will not stop until it's completed. He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem and know what this is about, and this will affect your life. It will affect your finances. It will affect your health. Why? Because when we agree with our God, things change. Atmospheres around us change. And we then are able to step into the blessings that he's constantly releasing. He's not releasing continuously where we say, no, thank you. I don't want it. He may continue to release, but we can push away. Push him away. And because of love, he says, well, if you don't want me, if you don't want that, but I'm a good daddy, I'm just going to keep giving. But don't push me away. Don't push my word away. Don't push my ways away. Some of us think we have seasons of busyness, and then we'll have more time for God. I believe God wants to challenge us in that. He wants to challenge our mindsets. Well, when this happens, when I get to the end of this, then this will happen. I believe that there are thinkings that we have that he is asking us to reconsider. I can't do that. I'm responsible just to give the message that I'm hearing. And I believe that's from him. So I would exhort you to do that. Because he's challenging us, because he doesn't want us to miss his heartbeat. And sometimes what we do is when we hear a word, I know I do it, so you must do it, I rationalize it right away, rather than say, could this be for me? So I really exhort you to think on that. So they will also plant vineyards and drink their wine and make gardens and eat their fruit. I will also plant them on their land, Israel. And they will not again be rooted out from their land, which I have given them, says the Lord your God. Amen. That's very strong. It's so strong that God uses it again in the New Testament. Can you put up Acts for me, please? There's a scripture in Acts that's referring to this very prophetic word. And this was written about 50 years AD, 50 years after Jesus. This is kind of fun. So let's see what it says. After these things, I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen. James is speaking here, and it's recorded here next. And I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it. He's referring to this, I should say. He's not speaking. So that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. So that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Huh? So there's something about rebuilding the tabernacle of David without going backwards. Remember, he said, I'm giving you a new and better covenant. So he's not telling us to go back to the old covenant. That would just be dumb. God's not dumb. Right? So what we want to do is say, what the heck do you mean by that? He wants to restore the spirit behind the heart of worship. And that's going to usher in the end. And that's going to usher in the culmination of the things that we're talking about. And this is extremely important because he's very serious about so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. So our worship, our intercession together is extremely powerful. And the enemy hates it because he has read the book. He doesn't agree with it, but he's read it. So, when we put things in motion, what God is saying to do, and the culmination will be when Jesus comes back, and we take those steps, it becomes more fun. So you might have that song in your heart. I heard that someone had a song. So I'm not mad at anybody. But I heard that was something that could happen. Not had to happen, could happen. And God says, it's okay. Step in. I like holy chaos, which is God's kingdom order. Kingdom order. Not the order because, the kingdom order. So I believe that God has a way for us to step into these things. We experienced it last night. We experience this all the time in Frontline. This is not a new thing. But last night, Darlene and Cynthia were preaching, teaching delightfully for our mission training weekend. And we had some wonderful things going on. And Darlene just burst out in a song. It was amazing. Really anointed. And so various people scurried up on the stage and backed her up. And we're all worshiping the Lord. That's what he wanted to do at that moment. So we wanted to lean into that. All he wants us to do is lean into what he's doing and be willing to do that and be willing to say, here's my plan, now what are you doing? Does that make sense? And I believe that's the spirit of David. He was able to do that. Let's put up the ones in Chronicles for me, please. This is dealing with how it used to look. And there 4,000 were gatekeepers and 4,000 were praising the Lord with the instruments which David made for giving praise. I believe that's a picture of what this can look like, but also in the temple, but also that we are fully engaged as worshipers. Fully engaged, using every gift, every talent, every ability to worship the Lord. Some of us will be singing out, some of us will be playing the guitar, some of us will be beating the floor in rhythm because we're designed as instruments of worship and praise. We're designed that way, but we're engaging. Catch the meaning behind this. We are engaging in that worship, which involves the musical side of things, the expression of our bodies, all of our bodies, our flesh and bones will cry out, here I am, I have to worship you with everything inside. We won't be in a place where someone says, please raise your hands or move your arm. Sometimes we maybe say that to help someone who maybe wants to, but has had a whole bunch of thinking or fear or determination or inner resolve that I don't do that. Or someone maybe has spoken that to you. I don't have to do that to worship. Well, fine, then you won't. That's an inner vow that will shut you down so fast. It just does, because we're designed to worship with all of our expression. Okay. There are a number who were trained in singing to the Lord. Can you back that up, please? 1 Chronicles 23:5. Next one. 1 Chronicles 25:7. That's for the tape. There are a number who were trained in singing to the Lord with their relatives. All who were skillful was 288. Okay, so we see a bunch of numbers. That's wonderful. But the idea is that the Lord is looking for that worshipful expression all over the earth, and he's raising us up all over the earth. He's raising up houses of prayer everywhere, all over the place. He says, can you please put up Isaiah 56? He says, even though I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. Well, sometimes we think prayer only looks like this. And that's wonderful when we have a posture of, Lord, I'm just connecting with you. But when we hear about the rest of the scripture, we want to say, Lord, what does that look like? So we want to operate as a house of prayer. This is one of his houses around the world. So we operate that way. And when we acquired this building back in 2005, when we moved into this building, we immediately put on the website, we are a house of prayer. Well, wait a minute, we're a church. I know. No, we're a ministry. I know. You see, the operation, the spirit behind how we operate is to line up with what the Lord says. And then out of that, We worship the Lord in fullness. We worship the Lord in all abandon. Can you put the website up there? Thank you, Eugene. And so just if you've not been to the website, not seen this, just want you to add to that C up at the very top where it says there's a shield to the left. It says House of Prayer. And here we are in your church's Frontline Worship Center. Absolutely right. But we operate in conjunction with Isaiah 56. And Frontline Ministries International, next to that, it says mission base. Because Jesus came as the ultimate missionary. And out of his life and out of his sacrifice, his resurrection, his sacrifice and his obedience, death and obedience, out of that, the greatest mission adventures began. And so we have the privilege of partnering with that globally and locally, all over the world. Okay? So we need to understand this. If we have a 24/7 prayer and worship time, why? That's the reason. Just because we want more hours because it makes us look spiritual? No. It's because God is calling for this all over the world. There may be regional places, there may be individual places, they may be linked and joined, and they will all have their different expressions because the Lord says, I want to raise up the tabernacle of David, the spirit of the tabernacle of David in these last days to usher in the return of my son. And in that, he will then acquire the nations that have been given to him in Edom and the Gentiles, and all men are going to be drawn unto him, including the Jews. So we have a glimpse of the end, what it's going to look like. So we posture our hearts to try to understand what he's doing and what he's saying. Thank you, Lord. You can put the other scriptures up too, Angie. That's good. God is good. He's giving us just a little bit more understanding, a little bit more desire for what he's speaking to our hearts about. I was telling, I think, some people in during the 24/7 prayer and worship, when we invited other worship teams in, we didn't invite them in to help us. We don't need the help. We have people, we have plenty of worshipers here. We can do this. It's nice. But the reason we invited them in was as an expression of, Lord, you so desire unity. And it was a big deal in this region to do that. It really was. And so you desire unity and unity of heart. And we're going to see how that synergy that takes place when hearts connect at the gut-heart level, we're going to see what that's going to look like in the heavenlies because we're doing business up in the heavenlies. We are interceding because one thing that we seek, which is to dwell in that place, that holy place, we dwell in your mountain, we dwell in that tabernacle, we dwell in that sacred place, and we inquire of you. We meditate in your place. In other words, what are you saying? We're going to worship you. What are you saying? What are you doing? And we're completely engaged in every way. Because this house, right here, put your hand on your gut. This house is a house of prayer. Yeah. Tell yourself, I am a house of prayer. Okay? And when you come together corporately, David had a little bit of this figured out, but when you come together corporately, there's a whole bunch of power that comes through. When we come together corporately, I'm telling you, we have a great worship team. But God is saying, teams, God is saying the anointing that's released from worship will come as we engage heaven. It's not just how nice Josh sings. Okay? We're engaging heaven, bringing heaven to earth, and desiring that we want to hear, what are you saying and doing right now? If we give a word, a prophecy, a vision, or whatever, take a direction, it's because we're inquiring in his holy temple. What do you want? And I believe that's going to increase. And people will feel more comfortable in that. I believe that's the heart of how God sees his worshiping bride all over the world. Oh, this is so good. Matthew 24:14. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, our preaching will be fueled and fired by our worship wherever we go. We are not just praying so that we can get through and do this stuff. We are worshipers fully engaging and knowing what we do see in front of us. And as you heard from Mike and Michelle this morning, we just move it out of the way because of who we carry. But when we're worshiping the Lord fully and in a way of abandonment, the darkness can't stay. We invade the darkness. The light invades the darkness, and then the kingdom is able to fully manifest wherever we go. Okay, any other verses? Is that the last?
Yeah.
A couple more, I think. There's one. That's a good one. Isaiah 16:5. A throne will even be established in loving kindness, and a judge will sit on it in faithfulness in the tent or tabernacle of David. Moreover, he will seek justice and be prompt in righteousness. And this is, again, a prophetic declaration of return of our Jesus. Anybody that it has an understanding that Jesus is coming back is a blessed body. Anybody that has a desire to see how this will affect them in the now is a blessed body. Any body, B-O-D-Y, that has a desire to understand more of what that means and then takes action with it is a blessed body. I choose to operate in all three realms. Many in the body of Christ are still figuring out whether it's true or not or when, but not stepping into number two or number three. We know he's coming back. Okay. And that's great. We can study that. I'm not minimizing the scripture. That's fine. But let's not stay there. Let's move forward and see what the Lord is saying. I believe that he is going to just exaggerate whatever it is that we're thinking is going to happen. But he won't do it without our desire to see it. If you can see it, you can have it. But if we're too busy at work, with our jobs, with whatever it is, we're too busy, and we say, I need to change this, probably so. Because there are things he's trying to get our attention and show us. He really is. And there are people who are listening. And those who listen move right into blessing number three. And that's where I believe we're going more and more. Some of us are moving there. Let's move past one. Jesus is coming again. Does that make sense? Thank you, Lord. Andy, are you in here? Come here for a second, would you? We have mission training weekend going on, so we're going to nations soon. We're going to Asia in a few weeks, going to Singapore, going to Indonesia, and going to Cambodia. Yay. And then a few months after that, a couple months after that, we're going to Mozambique. A few months after that, we're going to Ghana and Brazil. And here we go. It's very fun. But yesterday, Andy shared, if you can briefly share this, Andy, a vision that he had on our land in Ghana. Some of you have heard it. Some of you need to hear it again. I really believe because there's power in this release.
So in, In 2009, in our land in northern Ghana, and if you look back behind the soundboard and you see that picture there, that's Spencer, that is the view if you were a student at our Kingdom Bible School, that is the view that you would be looking out upon, which is really awesome. And we were having a time there on the land during our Kingdom Bible School, and I was looking out there, and Deanne as well, we were sitting there, we kind of saw something off in the distance between these trees that looked like an elephant. We're like, well, that's interesting. It wasn't an actual elephant, but just the way the trees looked like, it looked like there was one standing there. And later on during that time, we had a time of corporate worship with the Ghanaians, where it was a little bit of a mix of Ghanaian style of worship, a little bit of a mix of American style of worship. And as this worship was going on, the Lord just struck it on my heart that he was going to birth in this place a 24/7 prayer and praise and worship like experience and encounter, to where it would be a blending of these two nations. And not only that, I saw different people coming from different areas throughout Ghana into this region, into this location, to be able to enter into praise and worship, to
to where the point where that praise and worship show changed the atmosphere. That another time the Lord showed me a picture that he was raising up missionaries in those areas that were going to go out from that place, go out from our land in northern Ghana, and they were going to go into the neighboring African villages. And one of the things the Lord really, really strongly impressed my heart is that when you have an individual villager that is in a village that has been raised in witchcraft, has been raised in the traditions, once they come into the saving knowledge of who Jesus is, they have a lot more practical experience to go into another village and share and relate to the people in that village. To release the gospel, the kingdom to them, because they've experienced freedom, because they can relate to them, because they say, I was deceived by the same thing that you are. Obviously, here the Lord's freeing us from different things that have deceived us. But he's calling us, and I saw these armies of missionaries being raised up from our land in Ghana to where they were invading northern Africa. They were invading the Muslim countries beyond, as you go from Ghana up into Africa, it gets more Muslim as you go. And there's countries like Niger and Mali and Chad and all these different countries that there's tons of Muslims in. But just seeing that birthing place of 24/7 worship and prayer on our land is going to release missionaries that are going to go out and carry the gospel throughout. And it's going to be amazing. Because I just see it as well being a complete blend of expressions of worship, some from Africa, some from the United States, from people that the Lord hasn't even connected us with yet. They're going to come and express that heart. So, it's an amazing thing. Oh, yeah, sorry. The elephant. Thank you. It was sometime later back here when we were in a worship time, and somebody was, I don't know if it was a Bible study or not, but somebody was doing a teaching on elephants, and they said sometimes when they don't have any water, an elephant will go off by itself. It will branch off from each other. They go and they will seek out water because sometimes they just have a sense that there's water in a location. But a lot of times the water is underground, and so the elephant will go and it will like stamp its feet and kind of like pound the ground to break it open to bring forth water. And usually when that happens, and then the elephant will release a cry to all the other elephants to say, "Hey, come gather here." And when they come and gather here, then they all pound the ground together. And when they all pound the ground together, then it breaks it open for even more water. And so when that word came forth in that teaching of elephants, Deanne and I, who were sitting here in the sanctuary, were like, so that's what that elephant went when we saw it on the land. Because I mean, we were asking the Lord, like, what does this mean? And we just didn't get necessarily something there, but the Lord was faithful to speak to us after. So really sensing that our land had gone on a side note that has a really awesome, ultra-deep well that we're drinking water out of, which is really good. The Lord also is releasing the water of life through our land, through the expressions of worship are going to happen, and it's going to be pounding the ground and releasing.
And here we are talking about Africa, and the Lord gave us land for a regional outpouring, and we have all kinds of ideas and things in motion. Ooh, we're just going out. It's a big deal. So the Lord is saying, plant where you are. And what we're doing here for our house of prayer expression is doing what he's telling us to do. And he's saying, I'm blessing that. That's why we see, I believe, part of the reason we see eagles in this place or hear footsteps or whatever. We're not weird. God actually is speaking through prophetic dreams and things like that. He's showing us some things. And the power is taking us to the nations because he is making things happen. He's doing it. He says, I will do it. So he's looking for those who will cooperate fully with his way. So when we were in Ghana last November, we felt that this November, that's our desire, we would be able to have an expression school of worship within our Kingdom Bible School. And the Lord is saying, okay. And we showed a video yesterday of some expression of becoming just filled up with the Holy Spirit on the land in Ghana. We saw that. It was very fun to see the Africans responding. The Lord says, great, but what are you doing here? I said, well, here's where we are. Okay. Is everybody all in? Are we all together in this? I don't know. I'm not inside of someone's heart. But God wants to bless us more and more for our understanding of what this looks like. It's not black and white. It's both and more. He's looking at the spirit behind what he wants to do in the future. And he's saying, you can have the part of that now. And the fulfillment will come when I return. But this is how the nations are going to be one in fullness. I want to close with two verses. It's not up there, so you'll have to write it down if you want. This is in Luke 18, 7 and 8. And now, will not God, this is a rhetorical question, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith. Will he find faith on the earth? God is saying, I am the God of justice. I release the spirit of justice. Missions, meaning when we go and we help the oppressed, the downtrodden, we bring the gospel, we share the testimony with our neighbor at work, or walking on the path to school, or at our home, or wherever it is. We are being used by the spirit of justice, oh God, who says, I bring about justice on this earth, but things will quicken as we understand how to pray and how to worship without being stuck in a rigid mind. Not what he's saying. He's looking at the spirit behind as the instruments of worship are developed within us, because that's who we are. And that may include the expression of playing an instrument or singing and some of that, which I do believe it does. And we have a model from the Old Testament, and it's a whole lot better in the New Testament. So some of you have not stepped into the things that you've always wondered, gee, I wonder if I could play the violin, or I'd like to play the guitar, or maybe I should play the keyboard, or how about those drums? I believe that we have a school of worship here, and that school of worship should be flooded with people going, and Josh is saying, they're just coming all over the place. This is, well, where is this coming from? And I just really think God's going to increase how we view worship and how worship and intercession flow together. And I believe we're moving in that direction. I believe God's honoring that. I believe he's very pleased. The feedback we had even from last week with the 24/7 groups coming in each night was just so fun. I had people say, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't be there. Count me in for the next time. This is new. Newer to this area. And so God is, we're forerunners. Amen? And so God is very, very pleased, but he's saying, step in. I'm going to make it easier because I'm simple, but yet it's going to take your whole heart 100%. 100% to take that guitar of yours, go sit under a tree and start worshiping, and then say, how can I be of service in this house? Not just sit under a tree. We all sat under trees, we wouldn't have a mission team going overseas. Does that make sense? So we do both and more. We use the gifts we have, and we step in. We don't say, well, this is not my season. That's a big mistake. God will show us what that will look like. He will. But sometimes we don't step into the fullness of what we can because we have limited ourselves and he hasn't. We want to think about those things. And the final verse is in Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? So Lord, we just thank you today that we are those who pursue justice, as your word says. We are your worshipers in spirit and in truth. And you're stirring us up, Lord, showing us more and more how you operate, how the kingdom can operate. And we choose to cooperate with how you operate fully, Lord. Just possess us, whole God. Possess us, Holy Spirit, with a desire to desire you above all else, and to seek you in that most holy place, and to meditate and inquire of you in your temple, and to step out and say yes, but then walk in that yes, knowing that you will back us up with your power, with your authority, because it is all about you. And we give you all the praise for that, and we thank you, Lord, that today was a day bringing heaven to earth, for many of us have experienced more and more understanding, spiritual understanding, spiritual knowledge, and spiritual wisdom from above, knowing that you have the last word. We bow our knees to you with our heads held high, but with the fear of you, the fear of God resonating on the inside, Yes, Lord, I am not going to stop. I'm not going to retreat. I'm not going to go backwards. I'm going forward, and I'm not looking to the left or to the right, but I'm moving forward, and I'm willing to be taken out of a place where I haven't been able to run as fast as I'm able. So I thank you, Lord, for that word, whoever that's for, maybe all of us. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you receive the praise for this message. Amen. God bless you all.